CliffCentral.com. Somebody said, and I think this is such a good point, we were talking about this woman who's going to sue the Texas Energy Reliability Council for the death of her 11-year-old son during the freeze in Texas. Horrible story, but she's going to sue them for $100 million. And this is such a good point that's being made by Andy. She says, we should all sue Eskom. We would make, can you imagine how much money, oh, sorry, Sia. Can you imagine how much money we would get out of Eskom, all of us?
What are you suing for?
Everything. The loss of our livelihoods, business. There must have been some emergencies. There must have been situations where people's, the kind of things that if you're an old person, you need constant medical attention. Maybe your power went out.
Okay.
You know, there are lots of people who must have died in South Africa because of energy problems, because we have constant energy problems. So maybe we have a case here to sue ourselves. That would be hilarious.
Hey, people could even sue for meat going off in the freezer.
Absolutely, yeah. Your weekly groceries that you've just spent a whole lot of money on that all went rotten because Eskom switched off your power. Yes. I don't think it'll work, though.
We are much of a suing country, though. I don't think most of us know even much about what we're capable of.
Well, here's an interesting thing that's happening. Every morning we just refer very obliquely to the Bitcoin price. It's dropped right down to $50,000, which, I mean, you know, a month ago we would have said, wow, that's huge. But considering it was all the way up at 58,000 just a couple of hours ago, shows you how quickly it can slide back down. And it may even go below $50,000 during the course of the show this morning. So if you're watching those numbers, there's another interesting thing. Yep, there it is. Just slipped below $50,000 now. Right now, just gone. $1,000 knocked off while we've been talking about it. It's incredible. So you know what? Sometimes it's better to just hold on and close your eyes and imagine that it's all going well, even if it isn't. And sometimes it's better to just not be investing in huge numbers. And sometimes it's better to withdraw and then reinvest again at a lower price. Who knows? There's no perfect way to do this. There's no way you can be sure what's going to happen next. All right. Lots of things to get to this morning. I want to talk about something that we've brought up a couple of times on the show. And C has actually gone and found the whole procedure that takes place when and if poor old Prince Philip does hop the perch before his 100th birthday. Operation Fourth Bridge.
Oh, I like that term, hop the perch.
Yes, so tell us what will happen, Sia, finally, because we've thrown around all these platitudes about, oh, there's going to be processions down the street and what kind of a funeral it would be. But what actually does happen?
So it is officially called Operation Fourth Bridge.
Right.
And it is one of the strict procedures that are already in place when it comes to royal protocol and procedure. Already the Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip have plans underway for when they pass away. Just as a side note, Her Majesty's plan is called Operation Unicorn. How nice.
Oh, wow, they changed it. Okay.
It's a little morbid, but okay. I don't know. Still a morbid encounter. So these are some of the things that will happen when the prince passes away, whenever that might be. So firstly, it's just the announcing of the death. So in the event of the Duke's death, an announcement will be made by Buckingham Palace, which will first be given to the Press Association and the BBC. Okay. There are also a lot of technicalities around the time the prince would pass away. If he passes away sometime during the evening, the Queen will be alerted first, but the public will most likely know at around 8 a.m. On some occasions, the public has been told when a royal is on their deathbed. However, it is more likely that the news will be announced after the prince's passing. Mm. If protocol is followed, the Lord Chamberlain will consult with the Prime Minister and then seek the Queen's specific wishes around the death announcement. Just we don't know how all of these will be affected because of COVID-19 and crowd control and whether or not there'll be large gatherings. But then the country will go into national mourning. Mm-hmm. And very similar to if and when the Queen passes away, the country will instantly enter into a period of national mourning. So this means a series of rules must be followed, including all flags being lowered to half-mast in honor of the Duke. All newsreaders must wear black. I thought this was just a symbol of the moment. I didn't know it was a rule.
Because the BBC is a state broadcaster and the Queen's a head of state, she can lay down some rules for them. And they also have to play somber music or not happy music. I'm not sure what the terminology that they use is, but you can't play happy pop songs on the BBC.
So Spirit of the Sky will not be played.
No, that might actually work because Spirit in the Sky, you know, it's like you can go under religious music. Yeah. So you could, but you couldn't play What a Happy Day, What a Great Day, Everybody's Happy. You know, you couldn't play a song like that. That would be insensitive. But it's amazing.
Work.
Like, you know, even in this country, if a sitting president dies, a bunch of rules kick into action. I mean, we all saw it with Madiba, right? And it's amazing. Some people just know what to do. And they do what they feel is the most respectful thing that they can. Some people need to be there. They need to go and file past the coffin like we did with Madiba at the Union Buildings. Some people just carry on with their lives, but they, you know, they think about it a little bit. It's amazing how these things can affect nations, even international events. That's why it's interesting to know what the plans are from their side if something does happen. It's all pretty weird.
Interesting point you bring up. That's around the funeral. I'll give you those details in a bit. But just finishing that state of mourning. So yeah, all newsreaders must wear black. Any other presenters who are on television must also wear black as a sign of respect. And then even though the Queen rarely speaks these days, definitely under the period of mourning, she will not conduct any affairs of the state or interviews. And with Operation Forthbridge and the funeral of the Duke of Edinburgh himself, he has specified that he doesn't want a big fuss. So he doesn't want to lay in state of mourning.
Okay.
He doesn't want people to come and view him. Right. Yeah, he doesn't want any of that at all.
Okay.
Usually a royal would lie in state at Westminster Abbey before being buried in St. George's Chapel. He doesn't want any of that at all. He has opted for a private service at St. George's Chapel in Windsor, in the style of a military funeral. Mm-hmm. And then he would be buried at the Frogmore Gardens.
Oh, is that what he wants? It's interesting.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
That's usually an indication of what the Queen might have as well, because he's her consort, obviously. So that's... He doesn't like a fuss.
Not at all. A number of sources have attested to the fact that the prince has been very involved in the plans of his funeral in the last few years.
Wow.
Which is also weird, but okay. He said that with his funeral specifically, he wants family, friends, and heads of state from Commonwealth countries. And that's just about it.
Okay. Well, I think that's great. I like a person who doesn't want to make a big fuss, even if they are a big deal. Don't inconvenience everybody, you know, get on with it. That's kind of his attitude. I like it. All right. Apollo 13.
Operation Forthbridge.
So people are talking about some interesting movies, and there are a couple of things on my list of movies that I have to watch at some point. I still haven't. There's such a long list, and it's getting longer and longer by the week. And I've actually been watching some movies. I watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy again over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, and it was so good. You know, I just looked at those movies. That Peter Jackson, what a director, hey? And I mean, some people are not into fantasy stuff at all. I haven't read Tolkien for years. I remember when I was at school, I think I read it, The Hobbit and all of that stuff. But it's just incredible that we live in an age where we're so lazy, we don't even have to do the imagining anymore. Someone else does the imagining for us. You know, someone wants to picture in their heads, if you close your eyes, what does a troll look like? Or, You know, what does an orc or a goblin or a wizard or a monster look like? You have to imagine it yourself. Not anymore. Now they do it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole point of reading a book in those days used to be partly because it would teach you to read, but also partly so it would teach you to imagine. And when I watched Lord of the Rings again, and I just saw all the work that Peter Jackson had put in there into the creatures and the you know, these mountains and these incredible vistas, these scenes, these cities, these it's just absolutely astonishing that we can make those imaginations into something that's real, that everyone can see. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. We're very lucky to be alive at a time like this, you know. Before, we'd all have different pictures in our heads and we'd be comparing notes about what we thought the thing would look like. Now we can actually all see someone who's clearly extraordinarily talented. And I mean, I know he's got the whole workshop of people who helped build these sets and create these animals and monsters. But you still have to take your hat off for it. It's just absolutely incredible what human beings are able to do in this day and age with movies. What a privilege to be able to live and see this stuff.
Then I also wonder what we'll be talking about in 20 years' time in terms of how storytelling and technology have evolved.
Well, I don't know. I hope it's more exciting stuff. I mean, not that this isn't exciting, but it'll probably be up a couple of levels. I just hope that somewhere we retain the ability to imagine for ourselves. Because imagination isn't something you can learn at school. And imagination isn't something that that comes naturally. It doesn't just happen. Some kids do have more of it than others. But it almost has to be coaxed in. You know, you kind of have to make kids want to imagine. And some kids take to it like a duck to water. Other kids resist imagination because maybe their parents are really practical, really rational, logical, reasonable people who don't believe that it has any utility. I think imagination is so goddamned important. It's something that we spend no time attending to. And it's something we've got to think about for society as a whole, because all these great things that I've just been talking about had to first be imagined by the author of those books. And I just wonder, you know, one of the things for the week that we'll get to at some point is to start writing your own novel, because everybody's got a book in them. And it could be something semi-autobiographical. It could be something that's totally made up, that's fantastical. I don't read a lot of nonfiction. I read a lot of fiction. I don't read stories, but I admire them enormously. And when I do find a good story, it just absorbs me completely. So I think everyone has some novel in them, some story to tell.
Oh, geez. When last did you read fiction?
Ages ago. I can't even tell you when. We're doing a new episode of Blind History today. Exciting, exciting. That doesn't mean it's going to be out immediately. It might take a few weeks. We've got to do some production. We've got to record a couple of episodes in advance. But there is a new season of Blind History coming, and I'm really excited. So we're going into the studio today. And Anthony and I are going to be knocking it on the head and starting with the first episode or two. So very, very excited about that. That's not exactly...
This will also be the series that will coincide with the release of Blonde History. I'll never stop trying this idea up until it lands somehow. Stupid, you know, I should just not even ask for permission. Let me just do it. Blonde History.
No, it's not going to happen. That's a dumb idea. All right, well,
I'll do it on my own.
While we're talking about imagination, let's just talk a little bit about how education is changing. And in the last, you know, couple of months, kids have had their education thrown completely into disarray. Some of them have learned to deal with it and cope with it in different ways by getting used to these video conferencing apps. But apparently, there's a new AI platform that monitors students' emotions while they study, and it's been created in Hong Kong. This is pretty amazing.
And, like, just a lot to wrap your head around. I still only want to believe in the good of this before I think of how people could manipulate this function.
Does it use like facial recognition software and then expressions, and it works out whether your pupils are actually focused on the screen or whether they're distracted the whole time?
Exactly that. So the software is called Four Little Trees, the number Four Little Trees. It was created by a Hong Kong-based startup called Find Solution AI. And as students, a lot of students are still learning from home, and you might just have your webcam on, it will monitor your single learning experience. Excuse me. So how much are you tracking or absorbing, or are you stumbling over a word? Do you need to read a sentence again? Has the rest of the class solved the sum, but you're still battling over with that? Mm-hmm. And it will track all of that and make sure that you are able to learn at your own pace. I think that will help a lot when you think of parents who still might struggle with teaching their children from home, that a software like this will be able to move with the child. But I mean, when we also have platforms like TikTok where kids are innocently dancing, and we know pedophiles are able to access that, and, you know, it gets into the wrong hands and it's a mess. Mm. But, you know, who knows what it can do? So students who work on tests and homework on Four Little Trees, as they study, will have AI measuring their muscle points on their faces using camera on their computer or their tablet.
I got to tell you, I'm already nervous about this just because isn't it weird enough for kids that they're learning at a distance, that they have to sit in front of a screen all day? Now they're also going to be monitored. It's a little bit Big Brother totalitarian. We're always watching you, George Orwell 1984, if you ask me. It's like these poor children, they're already under huge pressure. Now you're going to monitor to make sure that they're paying attention. And what are you going to do then? Also have the machine shock them if they're not paying attention? How far do you take this, you know? Where does this end? It's ridiculous. There's nothing wrong with children who are not paying attention. What is wrong is that we're forcing them to sit in front of screens for hours in a day, that they're unable to socialize with other children, that they have to wear masks and can't see each other's facial expressions. We discussed this with that teacher who we had on the other day, and I'm feeling very, very sorry for kids. We had the matric results come out yesterday. I don't know how, but the Free State got the best results in the country. Did you see that? The Free State.
I have those numbers. Yeah.
The Free State. I would never have guessed that. I'm biased, not in favor of the Free State, but that if you told me the Free State are going to get the best results, I'd have laughed you out of the room. And then when I saw it in the news, I had to watch it twice yesterday to know that it was true. The Free State.
But something like this AI, it has already been rolled out in some schools.
Oh no.
Yeah, already in Hong Kong. A teacher and vice principal of a school called True Light College says that they have noticed a 10% increase in students doing better at school after they've started using the software.
I'm just horrified that the Free State beat the other provinces. Horrified. Can't believe this. So our total matric pass rate is down by 5.1%, which I saw Angie Mocheja in the news yesterday. And I mean, I don't know why I've got a soft spot for her, but you know this, Sia. Every time anyone attacks her, I feel bad for her because she's not an evil person, you know? She's not some kind of ideologue. She's an older lady who's trying to help. And she might not be able to help. She might be crappy at her job. But she's not a horrible person. And I just see people attacking her going, she's useless. She's shit. Like this poor old lady. Maybe I only feel that way about her because, I don't know, she's got a nice face or something. I don't know. But I always feel sorry for her. So she was on TV last night and she goes, well, she says, I'm actually relieved because it's only 5.1% down. So I kind of you know, chuckled because I've got a soft spot for her, which I'm not going to lie about. And then she says, I was hoping we could reach a little higher, but that's what we got. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, she said she was expecting a bloodbath.
Oh, God. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. That is the South African motto under the ANC. So I suppose we should be grateful that it's only a 5.1% decrease in the matric pass rate, because considering all the things that everyone has had to go through, and those stolen matric exam papers, and the year of coronavirus, the year of lockdown, it's just been a mess. I've said before, I feel sorry for the matrics of 2020. It's been a terrible year, and they've had the shittiest time. And you know what? Yeah. If you passed matric, forget about having to do well. If you passed matric in 2020, good for you. I just can't.
But then
believe,
where we
I just
go
can't
from
believe
this
the Free State.
On.
The Free State got the highest results. That's not. That is the strangest thing I've heard all year.
Where we go from this point, I don't know.
No.
And this
knows.
Is something that we will discuss on So What Now tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm. We got some great guests, by the way. We've got a returning champion, Unati Kwaza, who always has lots to say, and she's fiery as hell. She's from Khayelitsha. She's going to be on the panel again tomorrow night on So What Now. We also have Slicker, the rapper, who's a good friend of the show. We've had him on a couple of times on Cliff Central, and he's just terrific. Also got lots to say. And Rob Hursov, who we had on the other morning, he is a billionaire businessman and investor who has a bunch of opinions about the economy, the lockdowns, government, COVID, the matric pass rate, the crime stats, and a whole lot more. So don't miss it tomorrow night on ENCA. So What Now, 8:30 on Channel 4.
Who also didn't mince his words, by the way. Shucks.
None of them did. It was a really, you know, the show's starting to get to where I want it to be now. After how many episodes, but it these things take time. That's why I can't understand why these broadcasters, and big kudos to ENCA for doing this, because they've given us the runway to get better and better and better. And you need time. You can't, it's not always going to work from the get-go. It doesn't. You know, guests need to be in a flow. There needs to be a whole lot of different dynamics in play. There needs to be technical proficiency, and we finally are getting all of those things right. I'm thrilled to say. So I'm proud of Wednesday's show, tomorrow's show. And I think it's going to be a goodie. Don't miss it, okay? Adrian has just made a joke. Everybody sit. Make sure you're sitting down. Make sure you're holding on to something. Adrian's joke. Dun-da-da-da-da-da-da. Maybe the Free State, with their great matric results, have an ace up their sleeves.
Okay.
Great one, Adrian. Very nice.
Come on, Adrian. Good on you. That was a good one.
Andre is a little more cynical. He says maybe the Free State had some under-the-radar leaks of matric exams. Possible.
It's sad,
I don't know.
That's what we look at in this country.
I just would never have... If you'd said to me which provinces... Because they used... I think they were fifth last year or fourth last year, the Free State... But it's Free State, then Gauteng, then the Western Cape, then KwaZulu-Natal, believe it or not. And then, you know, the rest of them in successive order after that. I'm sure the Northern Cape, Northwest, and Mpumalanga and Limpopo, they're very embarrassing. And the Eastern Cape. Not a lot of clever people in those provinces, I'm afraid.
So 600,000 odd.
See, you didn't even react.
I'm going to breeze past
you
that.
You didn't even react to that. You just, it's no, fine that no. I said that, right?
No, I'm moving past that.
Sorry.
So 600,000 odd students were full-time matric students last year. And then I still don't understand what this fully means, but there were 117,000 part-time candidates that sat and wrote the matric exams. I didn't know you could do matric part-time.
Isn't that like adults who didn't get their matric who are going back to do it? They don't actually attend school, but they write the exams and they get the study materials. It's almost like correspondence, like you would with your NISA.
Okay.
That might be it. But yeah, that's interesting. I'm always interested in those kids who do like really, really well. They get like 8 A's because they took their 6 subjects, but then they took 2 or 3 or 4 other subjects, and then they get A's for those as well. And They're always these amazing, like super smart, brainy children. I'm always fascinated by those. They're like savants, you know, like genius children. God, if I had a kid and they weren't like that, I would be so disappointed in them. That's why I shouldn't be a parent, because I would say to them, why are you not, what's wrong with, and I wasn't like that at school. I was very average. I mean, I think I got 2 or 3 A's in my matric, and for me that was a big deal because there were subjects that I cared about, but the rest were like 70s. I don't think I got much better than a 70 in the other subjects that I didn't care about. So it was, I think English was good. I had an A for English. Yeah. I had an A for science, and for biology, I got a B in maths. I got the rest were Bs. So like 70 to 80%. So it was all right, but I was average. I mean, I wasn't one of these super achievers. But if I had a kid and they didn't get like 9 A's, I'd be like, throw them away, get another one.
Oh. After 18 years at that point, I don't think that's something that you can just do.
Well,
use it, don't use it. That's my advice.
This is why I'm not a parent, you know? Thank God. Because that poor child would be a disaster.
I'm sure I've shared this on the show before, but my matric year, I went to school with the top performing NSC people of that year. So the number one or best student in the country that year was in my grade. So all of our parents, my friends included, were looking at us like, come on, why could it have been like Asil?
All right.
Still
so
remember his name.
Don't say his name, but tell me.
No, he's awesome.
Okay, well, tell me, how did he end up? Because this is always what interests me, is like, what happens to these people after school? Some of them are really good at school, but then kind of nothing happens. You know, it's like a lot of brilliant people are disappointing, but there are also a lot of disappointing people who end up being brilliant. So what was he like?
He's doing something now in finance, or dare I say, what is it? Actuarial sciences.
Yeah. The smart kids always go into actuarial science, medicine, or engineering. Is that right?
Of course.
Yeah, it's got to be those three. You're not really smart. Don't give me this stuff that if you're clever, you go into law or the arts. You don't. The people who, like, I did law, and I know I'm not the brightest person in the whole world. And I know some of the people who studied law with me. They did law because they couldn't get into anything else. So I don't think law is for smart people. There are some smart people in law, don't get me wrong, but not generally. Doctors, you have to be, your marks have to be exceptionally high. Engineering as well. The applied mathematics stuff is hard, and that goes with actuarial science in some ways, because you're crunching some serious numbers there and you're doing really complicated things. Yeah, I mean, you have to have a tremendous brain for formulas and logic and calculus and trigonometry and geometry and pattern recognition and all of that stuff. I mean, those people are really, really sharp. And being able to apply, you know, algorithms to programs, to numbers, to systems, that's incredible work. And I mean,
they must be driven by something completely different.
Well, they get paid a lot of money, but a lot of them work in the insurance business, which is really boring. Yeah, I think they'll even admit that. So you kind of have to sell your soul in some way, because you go into insurance and then you do number crunching in an insurance company, which is, it's got to be, you know, soul destroying in some ways. It's just like, it's not the most enthralling job, but you get paid really well if you're a good actuarial scientist.
But I remember this guy and the people that he hung out with at high school as well. They were, you could tell that they loved what they were doing. Yeah. Mm. They loved solving the calculations, and they loved trying to figure out organic chemistry and what goes into this. And that's what thrilled them. So yeah, I'm not surprised, and good for them. But also, as someone who said on social media yesterday, I think they got they got this horrible, horrible science mark in matric. And he says, look, I'm speaking today as someone who holds a PhD from UCT. Don't let matric be your be all and end all. You're exactly. still going to find your feet. You'll still find what you want to do better. And, you know,
and
it's
I know
not
this
the end
is,
of the road.
This is going to sound really silly, but, you know, we all mature at different rates as well. So, like, sometimes you are not at your best in matric, but you come into fruition somewhere in your early 20s or whatever, and then that's the moment where you decide what it is you want to do, or you get into, you discover a job, you discover a talent, you discover a skill, you discover something that you're really just amazing at and that you love and that fulfills you. And it might not even make you that much money in the beginning, but in the end, that's your best bet to become rich, is doing the thing that you're the best at and that you love. Anyway, Andre says, I was the second worst, he says, at my school of 150 students in 1985. But what's weird is that I feel like a genius these days. Maybe I'm becoming delusional. Yeah, I think you might be, Andre. I'm not going to fight you on that one. Dr. Robin says, nope, I'm living proof that the cleverest people don't do medicine. We're just the naive suckers. Well, I don't know. You need good marks to be in medicine. It's too soon to ask what came of people from Sears grade. He's only 12 years old. It's a good point. Yes, absolutely. No. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Steph says actuaries actually also calculate betting odds, especially for sports events. Yeah, I know, but a lot of them are in insurance. I don't think I'm wrong there. And look, I've been into insurance companies, sure. That's not my idea of fun. God bless you if you're working in insurance, like old Ruasa, who helped Sia with his car. By the way, what's happening with your car? Are you ever going to get your car back? Are you ever going to be paid out? What's happening there, Sia? Huh?
Sorry, you know, my relationship with Rose is getting serious and serious by the day. Next week, this time, I would have probably introduced her to my parents, basically.
Yeah, come on.
No, we have to be so involved with each other. So dealing with the payment options now and what happens and how they pay out has been a lot of work. And so this is something that I've had to...
Sorry, they're writing off your car.
Yeah, so it's officially written off. But this is something that I've, not to sound like that message earlier on, sound like I'm 12 years old. But this is the first time I've had to deal with something officially on my own. Like, not even that I wanted my parents around, but I was so accustomed to my parents helping. Now they couldn't be bothered. Now I'm like, oh, okay. I have to send these scans and I have to sign these things. Yeah. And it's all part of the process.
Well, good for you, Sia. This is Adulting 101. And you've had to hit the road running, I'm afraid. And
this is not what I wanted.
In more ways than one. By the way, what's your experience been? Because you've been Ubering around. What has your experience been with that, you know, coping with just an Uber?
Yeah, I think it's rather limited because I still don't live anything close to my life last year this time was like. But I haven't struggled much at all. More so, it has made me rely on things that were always there, but I just haven't used before. Things like ordering my groceries now, because that was one of my main concerns. Like, oh, what if I'm cooking and then forget that I don't have tomatoes? So you know, usually you jump into your car, you'd go and you get tomatoes and you come back. Now I can order everything in and it's totally fine.
How far in advance do you have to order your groceries? Because my only problem is that when I've tried to do that, they said to me, oh no, best we can do is like 4 days from now. I'm like, nah, I kind of need it tomorrow.
You can do it in like an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm going to get onto that because I hate I hate grocery shopping.
Now you're like, hey, baby.
Yeah, I'm up for that, man. Sure. Yesterday I went to the chemist to go and get, you know, a bunch of the things that I needed after we recorded the show. And I was like, there's got to be a better way of doing this too. I know there are people who order their, you know, their stuff from the pharmacy and they just drop it off.
Oh yeah, your medication can also be ordered. We in my area have this service. You can tell that it's just kids in the area who started this. I haven't used it yet, but I think it's a cool thing as well. You can pay these kids to run your errands for you.
Oh wow, that's
so
good.
If you wanted them to pick up your dry cleaners and whatnot, and probably pay them $80, $90, $100.
That sounds like a good deal. That's very good. Very, very good. So Basit Sana says this is breaking news. Very important. Daft Punk, the band, Daft Punk are disbanding, and this is really upsetting to Basit Sana. So, all right, Basi, I'm gonna say that we're all upset for you, but really, the last time their last real hit, they did a couple of collaborations with, you know, like what's the guy's name?
Pharrell.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back. The first time I heard them was Defunk. Bow, 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 bow.
I don't know that.
Yeah, so let me play it for you quickly since we're messing around. We're waiting for Candace Mama, by the way. She's going to join us in a second. Let me just quickly play you Daft Punk, Defunk. You'll get an idea of where this comes from. Just so that I don't sound like I've completely lost my mind, all right? You never heard this
one?
Oh,
I know this.
Yeah, like this is it.
Just take it easy, you know? Right. Okay.
This.
Yo, that's a good song.
Oh, thanks.
Anyway, that's the version. That's the best I can do for you this morning. Oh, one of the things that's going to change on the show, just to let you know, when we go on to YouTube Live, which we're going to start doing soon, the music's going to have to go, I'm afraid, because there are all kinds of rules with YouTube about playing music, and you got to, you know, you can't play anybody else's songs, so that might change quite a lot. Anyway, we'll see what we can do. Giovanno says,
I would like to point out, yes. I did legitimately ask this in one of our meetings. Does this mean we also can't sing on the show anymore?
unfortunately for us, you can still sing, Sia. That is an unfortunate side effect of these rules.
Yeah.
So
that just means songs we can't play, but no, we could sing a song and we won't have any rights on us.
Sia's still going to be singing. That's going to happen.
Or at the very least, I can sing for 14 and a half seconds, 15 seconds onwards, rights market.
Please no. Please.
Or it might become a thing.
Please no. So Giovanno says that he thinks formal qualifications don't mean much if you don't know how to apply those skills in the real world. And I completely agree with him there. The thing about anybody who's hiring people to work for them, if you're a small business and you need skilled, talented, qualified people, is you don't really look at the qualifications very much anymore. That used to be a guide that, you know, this person can apply themselves, they can get a degree, they're disciplined, they can be responsible, because that's usually what a degree shows you. But the actual content of the degree, unless you're applying that knowledge in particular in the course that you're in, let's say, you know, you're a chemist, you have to kind of do well in chemistry. So if you have a bad chemistry result, that's not really a good reason to hire that chemist. But anywhere else, a business degree, an arts degree, a degree in languages, a degree in commerce, those kinds of things, is really just an indication of that person's overall ability. And I don't mind that. I'd overlook that for someone who's got the right attitude and someone who's got the right energy. And I think that's the case for many people. Anyway, we will reschedule Candace Mama. I think we've got some problems with her getting on this morning. She's been trying for the last half hour. A couple of points on Sia's mentioning that you can buy groceries online, which I knew about. I mean, I'm not an idiot, but Beth says that Checkers 6060 has changed all of that. Ordering online, it's very easy.
They say they'll give it to you. Yeah, 60 minutes or less.
I've got the app on my phone, so I must just try it. I suppose I'll try it today. What the hell? A lot of other people saying that the best way to do this is to order your stuff online, because then they deliver it. It's fresh. It's it's good quality stuff. What do you need to go to the shop for? It's not a pleasant experience.
But then there's also a crop of people, excuse the pun when I complete it then, like my mother, who goes, no, but you need to feel the food.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Because
that's just part of her shopping experience. She needs to go and she feels the avocado, then she feels the lettuce.
But there's something here that people, you either have this or you don't. You're either a list person who goes into the shop, like I always have a list on my phone of what I absolutely need, and then I just buy mm-hmm. that stuff. Or you have the browsers who go around and they go aisle to aisle, and if they see something they like, they put it in the trolley. Now, I can't do that. I have done it, so I'm not 100% on one side of this argument, but I prefer to have a list. You go through your list, you tick off the things you need, and you get out of there. If you're going to order online, you can't browse. It'll take you forever.
Well, yeah, you can't even compare the two. And I've been doing it now for, let's call it 3 weeks, and I've only had one glitch with my orders. Okay. But other than that, everything has been fine.
Well, look at you, Sia. You've become the spokesperson for online grocery shopping without even knowing it.
But mind you, it was a big glitch because it was a Thursday, and I think this service that I used stopped delivering at like 3 p.m. I had ordered wine.
Oh.
And in one of the bottles, they gave me non-alcoholic wine. I thought, This is not the time.
That's not what you wanted. That's terrible.
This is not the time, okay? Because now I can't buy for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, something, I guess I'm just being spicy by bringing it up, but I just want your opinion on it. I'm sure yesterday you saw messages of condolences, people sending Chief Madikizane, II.
This is Kusela Diko's husband, right?
Yes, who passed away recently. He passed away on Sunday.
Now, he is the one who is involved in the PPE tender scandal. And do we know how he died? Do we know what happened to him?
He was in hospital last week due to abdominal pains. That's what the statement says. I'm not being a conspiracy theorist. I'm not being completely cynical. I'm just raising my eyebrow. And the ANC was one of the first people to send out sympathies. The president himself released a statement. The ANC said, we can only imagine the difficulty that Comrade Kusela is going through. We are asking that she be given space and prayer and wait for communication from the family.
Okay.
But this is all while and follows Kusela Diko being suspended from her spokesperson position last year when the scandal broke out. And this is while we haven't really gotten to the bottom of the multi-million rand PPE tender that the husband got.
How do you feel about this? Because obviously, you know, I don't know who this person is. We didn't know who this person was until we found out that he was involved in a PPE scandal. It's horrible when anyone dies. The old Gareth might have said that, you know, me 10 years ago, Jesus, just bumped my elbow really badly. The old me 10 years ago might have said, oh, well, you know, bad people like that. Thank goodness that we've managed to clear the gene pool or whatever. The fact is, like, this is someone's family and you got to give them a bit of time. But I wonder if the stress of being caught with their hand in the till didn't expedite this poor guy's death. Because the stress of that must be, he brought it upon himself, so I'm not by any means being sympathetic, but I wonder if the stress of all of that didn't add to the, you know, the hastening of his death. And, you know, she was young. She still is young, the former spokesperson for the presidency. So he couldn't have been very old. I wonder what actually precipitated this. If maybe it was COVID related. Some people would say that's a kind of poetic justice if you stole PPE money and then COVID got you. But all of that stuff, that's just being mean. It's unnecessary, but it's something that people will remark on.
Yeah, abdominal pain is still quite vague. Mm. We don't know exactly what that means or what had happened, but he had been admitted to a hospital, and then this has now happened. I hate to sound crazy. I hate to sound cuckoo. I hate to sound like I'm about to wear a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, conspiracy theory, Sia.
Some of these, this is just the timing of it. And as well with Minister Jackson Tembo a few weeks ago as well, when he passed away, what was later announced was that he was scheduled to appear at the Zondo Commission. It goes,
ooh. Okay, so you are...
Are
you saying, ooh, I mean, like, these people have, like, avoided justice? Is that what you're getting to?
Gareth, I don't know. I can't help my mind from swirling a little closely to what could
be. Calm down, Sia. That's you're searching for answers where there aren't any.
Do you know what you can do with multi-millions, you know?
Well, Sandile says, rest in PPEs. You got to admit that's funny. Come on. Sandile. That's great. That is just a very, very good story.
You know, let's just check the flight logs leaving South Africa and going to Cuba.
Oh, you mean like, who was the guy? The dude with the Busasa
at the airport,
what's his name?
I see his face. Gavin
Watson. You're saying it could be a Gavin Watson where he's still alive and he's somewhere. I don't know. Hey, I mean,
they're friends with Cuban doctors. One flight out of here, you get a new face, you move to Angola, your name is Dico Loco as opposed to Dico. But don't listen to
I don't know. Hey, I think the tinfoil hat's definitely heading your way. Hey, I've been called a conspiracy theorist just because I had David Icke on my show. Remember? Mm. I mean, there were people trying to cancel the show after we had David Icke on because he's a conspiracy theorist. We were talking about conspiracy theories. So who's the best person to have on when you're talking about conspiracy theories? How about the world's biggest conspiracy theorist? But no, now suddenly I'm a conspiracy theorist just for having him on. And I don't think I agreed with anything he said during the course of that interview, by the way. You were there. Do you remember me going, yeah? No, that's perfect, David. Yeah, I agree with everything you've said. Did I do that?
No.
I'm very skeptical of these things. I'm not going around telling people I believe in Bigfoot. I mean, for heaven's sake, for the longest time, I've given mainstream religion a hard time. So how skeptical am I about everything?
I might not believe in the Loch Ness Monster just yet, but I believe in a great plastic surgeon. That's all I'll say. Do I need to put a disclaimer now? The views expressed by me are the views of me and not my employer or Cliff Central.
We're going to have to start doing that every time you come up with a theory. Because you're now saying,
I don't think it's too far-fetched.
You're saying people
it might be insensitive.
People have been spirited away to other countries just because it's inconvenient for them to appear before the courts. I don't know.
Inconvenient is an understatement.
Well,
I don't think Cosella could ever work anymore unless there's the things that prove that she wasn't involved.
Listen, I know some smart people who are into these conspiracy theories, hey? Really, people who I respect and admire. And it's hard for me to figure – no, it's hard for me to figure out. Like, this is one friend of mine who's definitely in the top 10 smartest people I know. He reads everything. He will tell you about all kinds of stuff that you didn't even know about, the latest developments in this and that and the other. And he's deep down the hole of like UFOs and aliens and all of that stuff. And I'll tell you what, if anyone's going to persuade me to read that stuff, it's him. And I have. I've looked at it with as objective an eye as I could possibly muster. And some of it is intriguing. Some of it is very suspicious. Some of it makes you think, wow, there could be a whole lot of stuff going on. And some of it is patently absurd. But when your smart friends start pointing you in this direction, maybe we should all just give it a second look, you know?
So how long are you giving it before people start saying, we didn't actually land on Mars?
Sia, you have the tinfoil hat today. I'm just saying maybe tomorrow it's my turn to wear it. Who knows? Don't judge, lest ye be judged. What did Jesus say? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So if you believe
watch someone say Hollywood is actually on pause, no movies are being made because of Corona, so all of these studios are available, and this is how they fake the Mars landing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you don't even have to go that far. Look at American political conspiracy theories. I mean, there are people who believe that Hillary Clinton was running a pedophile sex ring from a pizza parlor, right? That was an actual thing people believed. QAnon, which is that there's this deep state person who is who was secretly backing Trump all the way and knew everything that was going on. And there are a lot of people who are still down that QAnon hole. A lot of them were the people who went to the Capitol on January the 6th. This stuff is happening around us right now. And I wonder how much of it can be laid at the feet of the same media who keep on mocking and ridiculing people for having certain views and attitudes. You can't mock people if you're in the media business when the media had themselves have been shown to be fake news so much of the time. And look at Jacques Poe and that story just the other day. Look at how many times I can tell you from my own experience over the last 25 years in media, how many times there have been fake news stories that I've been involved in. You know, you look at how many times these newspapers, and they publish an apology on page like 4 or 5, and it's this big. But the headline on the day they publish the headline is this big. And
of course,
how many people ever read the apology? 5% of the people who saw the headline? I don't know. But it's pretty weird. So Robert said,
and this already 5% of the people who bought the newspaper, but way more started to hop on social media the image.
And let me tell you, social media is the best place to spread a conspiracy theory. So Robert says, Anderson Cooper drinks the blood of 5 babies through a straw. Live babies through a straw. That is how he keeps his youthful looks. Andre says, I think Jesus was an advanced robot. That is why he was beamed up to the mothership. Oh, man. Yeah, this is happening. Woody says, the moon really is made of cheese. These are conspiracy theories. Listen, guys, I mean, don't embarrass me now, because if there's someone listening for the first time this morning, they're going to go, oh, God, that show really is for crackpots.
Ooh, that is not even the VIP lane to going to hell. That is like the fast track. You don't need a ticket, just wave and you're getting into hell. Jesus was a
a robot, an advanced robot that was beamed up to the mothership. That's good stuff. All right.
Andre, let's just tit for tat. Save me a seat or I'll save you a seat. But that we're going to hell for.
Well, let's finish on a positive note, because we were talking about matric exams earlier, and we were talking about qualifications and everything else. So Lorette says, and this is something we should all keep in mind. Lorette says, one of my best friends at school almost failed every year at high school. He has become one of the most successful people I know. He's been the CEO of a few big South African companies. I'm really proud of him. There we go. If you didn't get the matric results you wanted, or you're one of those people who still hasn't got the job that you've always wanted, maybe it's not your time yet, but it might come. And your results in matric, or your results, especially in a year like last year, for whatever you do, might not have been the best that you could have done. By the way, you know, while we're talking conspiracy theories, I did see this thing. I'm going to talk about it. Pumi sent it to me. Helen Ziller says that someone's been messaging her about microchips in her brain. So we got to talk about this, but I'm going to save it for when Pumi comes on Thursday, because she sent me the message. It's hilarious. And don't worry about matric exams, everybody. Don't worry about your matric results. If you didn't get the greatest results, neither did I, neither did Sia, neither did Lorette's friend who became the CEO of a number of companies. Everything's going to be all right. Have an awesome Tuesday, everyone. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. CliffCentral.com.